Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
2 hours, including our guest who's on the line right now, Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com, who joins us now to talk some Eagles. And there's a lot going on right now. At least we're on the verge, it feels like, of a lot going on. Elliot, how you doing tonight?
Yo, what's going on, Joe? How you doing?
Elliot, I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk some Eagles because it feels like we're on the verge of two major things going on. Let's start with the Joe Douglas situation. You wrote and you reported the other day on 94WIP.com that with Mike Maccagnan getting bounced out of New York and Adam Gase kind of power playing him out, that Joe Douglas is the logical and maybe the likely replacement up there in New York. What are you hearing and what do you think about this whole situation if Douglas does head to the Jets?
So I had heard during draft week that Joe Douglas was basically going to be the next GM of the Jets, but it just made no sense to me whatsoever given the timing. So I kind of sat on it. But then with Maccagnan being fired, obviously at this point I think it's pretty clear the Jets are going after Joe Douglas. It's really just a matter of whether or not he's going to take the job. And it sounds silly to say, well, why would he not take it? And I do think he probably should. But the Jets' job, as we're seeing these last few days, is not a stable job. The Eagles organization is considered maybe the best organization to work for in the league. So he'd be leaving an extremely stable spot in a great organization. So I don't think it's a slam dunk he goes, but I do know the Jets absolutely want him. And if he does go, it would be a big loss for the Eagles.
So why would he go then, Ellie? I mean, it's the chance to have that job. I know he and Adam Gase know each other. They worked together a bit in Chicago when Douglas was there and Gase was the offensive coordinator. Is that the reason to go? Is it Sam Darnold? Is it just that kind of lure of being the guy? We're here. He's never going to be the guy. I mean, Joe Douglas is, I think, really respected, but this is how we show as long as Douglas is with him.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Jets' job, they have two things that's kind of similar to what the Eagles are trying to build around. They have a young quarterback in Sam Darnold, and you could argue maybe even a better quarterback to build around at this point, considering his age. He isn't owed a big contract for a few more years, and he's never been injured. But then they also have Quinnen Williams, a defensive tackle they just drafted out of Alabama as their kind of stud defensive lineman, similar to Fletcher Cox in that way. So I think that Joe Douglas would look at this and say, I have my quarterback, I have my stud defensive lineman. Le'Veon Bell's overpaid, but I do have a great running back. And I also have Jamal Adams on the defensive side of the ball. So he has some pieces there where before he even got there, he could feel good about. And then not to mention, obviously, being in New York, all of those things. So I think that those are the attractive parts of the job if you're Joe Douglas.
Elliot, if Joe Douglas leaves and he goes and takes this job with the Jets, how much trouble are the Eagles in long term? I mean, it's amazing now because anytime Howie Roseman's name comes up, everyone rushes to talk about how great he is and he built a team that won the Super Bowl. But there was a lot of questions about Howie for a lot of years in Philadelphia. Joe Douglas got here. This team really started to build what they've built now. Look, I have no idea, Elliot, how much credit each of these guys deserves percentage-wise. But we've never seen, you know, Howie Roseman build a championship team without Joe Douglas there with him. So it's a little bit of, look, I'd be worried if Douglas left long-term with Howie without him.
Yeah, I think it's a fair worry. I would also say that it would probably take, you know, 2, if not 3 years to really feel the impact of what losing Joe Douglas would mean. I think when you talk about their draft, Joe Douglas is the one that kind of sets the board. He goes out, he sees the majority of the players. And then when it comes down to make the final pick, obviously Howie gets to do that. But, yeah, it would be a loss. And when you talk about Howie's kind of rebirth as a general manager, I think one of the things he's doing better than he did before is he's better at listening to people. Because when you talk about Howie's success, Joe Douglas plays a huge role of it. And then everyone loves to talk about how great Howie is with the cap, and he is. But Jake Rosenberg, their lead cap guy, is one of the main reasons they're so good at it. So losing Joe Douglas would be a hit on the football side for sure. And replacing him won't be easy. He's viewed as one of the top personnel guys in the league. Teams have been trying to hire him away for years, really since he got here. And not only would you lose Joe Douglas, you'd lose people that came with him, guys like Andy Wydell, guys like Ian Cunningham, who are also respected. So replacing him won't be easy, and it will be up to Howie to find somebody. that won't turn things into back how it was prior to Howie being fired before.
Elliot Shore Parks, 94 WIP, joining us here. We have to get to the new podcast that you've launched with Brian Baldinger. I'll get to that in a minute, but I want to touch on all the rumors around Carson Wentz, Elliot. And there's smoke out there that his long-term extension is going to come down sooner than later and probably before the season starts, which just based on the timeline, I'm not shocked. I mean, Howie the last couple months has really laid it on thick whenever he talks publicly that they want to do this. But it is, you know, once it comes down, it's there, and we can't avoid the reality of it. And it sounds like, just from some of the things out there, that we could be talking $30 or more million per season. What are your thoughts on that much money right now for Carson Wentz?
Well, I thought the whole point of signing him right now was to get a discount. Now, yep. You could argue that maybe next offseason it'll cost $40 million, but I think one of the narratives that's out there that's just not true is that it'll definitely cost more next year. And the reason that's not true is because we have no idea what will happen this season. You would have told me last year that it would cost more to sign Carson this offseason. I mean, the guy broke his back. So, like, things change. So you have no idea. Carson could go out and he could not play well. He could go out and re-tear his ACL. His back could end up being an issue again. So this idea that next offseason is going to be more expensive, the Eagles just really don't know. So when you talk about signing him now, you're taking a gamble on it. And for $30 million a year, when you can really control this guy for the next 3 years, I think, for maybe $35 million total, I don't see the rush to do it. I see it on Carson's side, but if you're going to be paying him $30-plus million and not even getting that great of a discount, I don't really see why the Eagles would do it.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, it just feels like they're just banking and banking on their original investment paying off, which is drafting Carson Wentz. But, Elliot, I looked at the salaries today for quarterbacks around the NFL. If he makes 30 or more, he'd be a top five highest paid quarterback in the NFL. And I just don't see how anyone in this moment could say he's a top five quarterback in the league.
Well, the funny thing about the Eagles is when they talk about Carson at this point, they almost sound like they're in denial about what's happened. Like, they still say he's a great young quarterback to build around. They still talk about him like he never dove into the end zone in 2017 and got hurt. And look, I still think if you told me I could pick any quarterback in the league to build my team around, Carson's still on my short list. There's probably only four or five guys I would take ahead of him. But at the same time, the last 2 years did happen. And so to hand a guy that much money with probably the two worst injuries you could have for a quarterback outside of a shoulder injury, I don't get the rush. Now, for Carson, I do get the rush. He gets hurt a lot. He gets the money now. He doesn't have to go out there and practice during OTAs and training camp without a new deal. I get why he would do it. If I'm the Eagles, if you're not saving money, as you mentioned, you're going to make him a top five paid guy, I would hold off.
Yeah, and here's the other The other thing that, like, maybe from their perspective, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, is Dak Prescott might get his deal soon, and Jared Goff eventually will get paid by the Rams. Maybe they're trying to get ahead of, let's say, Goff, who could now get more than Wentz. But that's the only way I see them saving any money, is if they get him and they kind of set the bar before Prescott and Goff set the bar higher.
And also, like, I don't get why everyone is so obsessed with saving money. Like, I understand, okay, you sign him this offseason versus next offseason, you maybe save, what do you think, $6-7 million a year, which adds up. But at the same time, if he's worth that $30-35 million, he'll be worth 42. He'll be worth every penny. He's going to end up being worth this deal or not, almost regardless of what it is. So, you know, I just don't, again, I don't see the rush. I don't see the incentive on the Eagles' part. And I would rather overpay for him next year, knowing what I have, than pay a lot of money for him now, being completely unsure.
I agree. Elliot Shore Parks at 94WIP.com joining us here. I'm with you on that. I'll throw this theory at you, Elliot. Do you think any part of this, because look, Howie knows the economics of it. Everything we've talked about the last 5 minutes, he knows. Like, he gets all these numbers and what other quarterbacks are making. Uh-huh. Do you think part of this may be like their last, like, it's been an offseason of let's make Carson comfortable. Let's let Nick Foles walk away. Let's bring in every offensive player we could find through free agency or trades or the draft. It's been an entire offseason of, Carson, you're a guy. We're doing everything for you. Do you think this is almost the last ditch resort? Like, look, now we're going to take away all that pressure from you because we paid you. We gave you your guaranteed money, and we don't have to talk about your contract all year.
So one of the benefits of going to these league events that I go to every year is you get a chance to be around other general managers. And one thing I've learned, and it's pretty apparent to people in Philly, but one thing I've learned from seeing people around the league is that Howie is an extremely smart individual. He will make this decision with all types of information in front of him. He'll think about the salary cap next year. He'll know about Carson's injuries. He'll know all of those things. So if he sits and looks at it and decides, okay, I should hand this guy a deal, then, you know, you almost have to trust Howie in that regard because I do think he's a smart guy. But what you're talking about is emotion, and Howie's crutch might be the fact that he does let emotion sometimes get involved. You see it with Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, Brandon Graham, all those guys. And when you're talking about a franchise-type quarterback, you can't hand him the money just to make him feel better. You have to pay for future performance, not past. And I do think that's one area where they hand him a big deal. You can sit and say, yeah, Howie's a smart individual, but emotion might have gotten the better of him in this case.
Yeah, and that's – look, I'm a big Howie guy, but that does worry me, I mean, especially this offseason, bringing back a lot of the guys that were here in the past. Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com. All right, Elliot, before I let you go, tell everyone out there about the new podcast that I just subscribed to, Football Insiders. It is you, Brian Baldinger. I the first episode is up. Tell us what's going on here and where we could all find it.
Well, first let me say, as being a former podcast host of yours, or you are my host, it's sad not to do it with you. That being said, I'm excited to get going with this. It's a radio.com Football Insiders podcast. It's me and Brian Baldinger. We recorded two episodes, and I can genuinely say I've learned a ton already just listening to Baldy. He does a great job breaking down what he sees on the field in a way everybody can explain it. Like, football is a complicated game. It's not easy to understand. Baldy explains it in a great way. We have our first episode up. We actually talk about Carson Wentz, talk about every division in the NFC, and then we have one going up next week talking about the AFC. So you can get on all your podcast apps, go to the podcast store on your phone. It's called Football Insider, so go check that out and subscribe.
Well, I'll say this, Elliot. I haven't listened yet. I just subscribed maybe a few minutes before I brought you on because I saw your tweet about it. I was like, all right, I'm in.
Appreciate
I'm subscribing.
It.
But the one thing that I'm excited about is every Monday, Elliot, during the season, I'm always Monday morning on Twitter, and I always see Baldy breaking down film. He's just taking his phone up to the whatever film he's watching
right. And
breaking it down. Like, that's – I think every football fan loves that stuff. So I'm excited to listen to you guys break this stuff down. Once, twice a week during the season?
It's going to be twice a week, and you're absolutely right. Like, when I heard I was doing it with Baldy, I was genuinely excited because he really does love football. He told me every Monday at 6 a.m. the first thing he does is watch tape of the Indianapolis Colts offensive line. So if you do that, I think it's safe to say you are a football junkie.
Yeah, there's no question. If I had to say there's one person out there that's a football guy, a true football guy, it is Baldy. Elliot, I appreciate you hopping on. Good luck with the podcast. I'll be listening, and we'll talk soon.
All right, talk to you soon, Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.